Hi, love. This is Dawn, and you're listening to Dear Divorce Diary with my coach, Dawn, where we explore the post-divorce life and you, the woman who lives it. We cover everything from trauma during and after divorce to feeling like a stranger in your own life and the new frontier of life as a single woman. Cozy in for the conversations you've been longing to have about this new life.
Did you get any feedback back from last week?
No.
I did.
What?
I had like three people tell me I breathe too in the microphone too much. But they love me and they know me so well. Uh-huh. It was so fascinating because that is something that I've consciously worked on for years, the last, 3 years of learning how to breathe. And they're like, we know that when you're breathing, you're processing, but they were like, just don't do it in the microphone. Thank you.
Thank you. I have never noticed that. Yeah. But I guess if people are listening with earbuds, they probably hear different layers of sound.
Right.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. But they were like, we know you well enough to know that this is something
that's sweet.
That you.
Okay. What else did they say?
They were very excited. They were like, yeah. This is so good. Like, I'm just so excited that like the conversation flow. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, I'm scared to say it, especially if we release this one, but like, yeah.
You didn't say it.
No. I feel like sometimes I think I'm crazy, but that's okay.
Sometimes you think they think you're crazy? Oh, so you were afraid to say it because they will hear you having said that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, aren't the best people a tad crazy?
Yeah.
I say best. That's not nice. You know what I mean? Like, there's a fine line sometimes between creative genius and creative insanity. Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So you have been...
I have so many things on my mind, and they've been stacking up since last week.
Okay.
Honestly, since the shadow perception, brain games matter, expanding matter...
Oh, it's like, what you texted me at like 6 o'clock in the morning
to talk about quantum physics.
Yeah. No, like coffee first.
Okay. Coffee first. So it's like they've been stacking up since then. And mm-hmm. So part of my issue, I think, as I get further and further into my own inquiry about how to live life even more into my purpose than I already am, like living in my purpose in a joyful way, because that is the magnet, right? Yeah. That is the thing that I think we're all meant to do here.
Right.
I just breathed into the mic. Now I'm conscious of it.
Yeah, we're going to be like... There's a podcast that I used to listen to religiously, and it was like the Murdaugh.
And
she always made fun of her vocal fry. And then there's another podcast, Crime Junkies, and where Britt takes like random weird pauses
in her cadence
so it's so funny, like this is going to be our theme is
breathing. Got it. Well, but, you know, it's useful to breathe
and it's on brand, like you're supposed to, right?
yes So I promise you all these things eventually will connect, right?
Okay.
So we talk a lot around here about how to grow this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have little mini crises of faith. Mm-hmm.
Crises.
Okay. Of faith. They're usually mini, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. About like last week when I got that 1-star review on Google,
mm-hmm.
and that triggered this instance of panic, right? Absolutely. And I was like, but do I actually help people? And you looked at me like, no, you actually help people. So when we are talking about the methods in which we could grow this podcast, I chronically come back to, in a good way, not chronically in the pathological way, it has to be so authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So authentic. Because that is what we teach.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I practice. And so lately, I have been seeing so many people who I follow on Instagram who create really awesome content, whom I admire, whom mm-hmm. I learn from, get really burnt out mm-hmm. on Instagram. Like in big ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't create a ton of content for Instagram. And mm-hmm. that's why. Because it's a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can only go so deep, you can't get into the nuances of a thing. And I believe that true deep healing, the kind of healing that I want people to have and I want people to believe in, it needs more context and more nuance than social media can provide. Also, I have heard some of them talk about someone I greatly admire in terms of the work she's doing in nervous system training. That she fell into the trap of ego for likes, follows, shares, and growth. And she talked about that in her email list this week. But then that it was infecting her ability to go live life without thinking about how to turn life into content. And so we've just, I think I got a taste for that like maybe 5 years ago where I got a little bit in that. And then I was like, this, like I'm not with my family. I'm not experiencing these moments. And then I stopped. And that's part of why I think I fell off Instagram back then, right? So then when I have these little mini wobbles, right? So last week, you and I and our chief operations, chief tech, chief financial officer. We were all watching some content I had created some years ago because we're going to offer this Loneliness Roadmap mini course for free to email subscribers, right? So if you're not on the email list, free mini course. And I was watching the video I created, and it wasn't in this house with this beautiful set, right? But my makeup was on point and my eyes weren't dark underneath because I was in a phase of desperately trying to cover up the dark circles.
And be perfect.
Correct. Be, yeah. Correct. And so I saw that video last week. And it got in me, not in a good way. You know what I mean? Like comparing myself today to myself then, temporarily kind of forgetting that the reason I wear the type of makeup that I do now and as much as I do now or as don't, right, is because I have learned to embrace comfort over appearance. And so I got wobbly this morning when I put my makeup on and look, I'm wearing concealer. And I don't know if you could tell, but now my face smells funny. And I don't like that. Right? So it's like, even I can see in these moments about feeling tempted to put more energy into Instagram or more energy into makeup. And I think that's not it. But it's so tempting. It's such a trap that we fall into. And so as a team, I don't want us to fall into that trap because I don't want us to burn out. And as a team, I don't want us to fall into that trap because I don't want to even subtly convey to our listeners who are asking themselves who they are and who they want to be and where they want to go and how they want to recover from this moment in their life and think that they have to wear a certain makeup to do it because they don't. But then when things don't go as fast as I want them to, then I start to get, maybe it drops lower on the vibrational scale, right? I don't want to say desperate, but like doubtful or impatient. Probably impatient, right? So when things don't go as fast as I want, then I drop a little on the vibrational scale. And so then out of my impatience, right, then here comes the ego. I dip into the ego and then the ego misleads rather than sticking with what I know to be true, like capital T true, right? Which is stay tapped into my divine power. Maybe I should start calling it that. What do you think about that? Because when I talk divine power, because when I talk about power, right, then the, again, here's the nuance in the context. I don't mean egoic power. I don't mean like mind power. I mean divine power. Stay tapped into my divine power. Stay tapped into my human design and trust that everything is lining up behind the scenes, right? We planted the corn and the corn will sprout. And that, and that goes. So then I was thinking about how do our listeners know when their healing journey is working?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because it's basically what I'm talking about, right? I'm just in a different layer of the journey.
Right.
And so when we think about the science of growth spurts, because 100 years ago, they thought that humans grew gradually every day, imperceptibly gradually every day. And believe it or not, it was in very recent history. There's this documentary on Netflix, I think it's called Babies. And this is where I learned that, that actually we don't grow. And then overnight, we literally spurt. And then we don't grow, and then we spurt, and then we don't grow, and then we spurt. And so I think this is also not, I think, right? This is how healing or any journey progresses, is it's not actually incremental day by day necessarily. It's like we plateau for a while, we consolidate our energies, and then when the energy is like so super consolidated, then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
And I think that where we get into trouble as thinking thinking creatures, mm-hmm. right, is in those plateau phases where we're consolidating our energy before a spurt, we ask ourselves if we're stuck mm-hmm. or if we're impatient. But I think more often than not, we doubt ourselves rather than practice faith. But sometimes for our listeners, because they're in it, I think it's a lot harder to know if you're stuck because so much has been chronic for so long. Mm. And it's so hard sometimes for us to see our own growth, right? I can hear it in my clients one-to-one, like mm-hmm. week to week. I can hear micro shifts that they absolutely are completely blind to. But it's like little pivots in how they're thinking or little pivots in how much divine power I can see they're tapped into or mm-hmm. little less victim consciousness. And so while I often see that it takes, let's say, 6 EMDR sessions before there's like a massive shift, right? Then I can almost feel it coming. And then all of a sudden, boom, 1 week, it's like so much changed. And I think it's similar with homeopathy that like maybe we start with a lower potency mm-hmm. but then you know as we get consistent and then we work our way up then like boom all of a sudden it's like wow a lot feels different.
Yeah.
But then there's another layer that gets revealed and then I think do we feel defeated or do we feel frustrated, like why am I not there yet?
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of it too, right, is that I don't know that we talk a lot in popular healing culture about layers of healing.
Yeah,
that's a common phrase in my corner of the internet, layers of healing, right? Like rings on a tree or layers of soil.
Yeah.
It's very common conversation in my corner of the internet, but do you hear that out there in popular healing culture?
No.
So we think about our healing as this, and then I'll get to the end of my journey and then I will be done. Mm-hmm. It will be cleared. It will all be cleared. But what realistically happens, and maybe this is a nuance that our listeners really need to hear, is we clear one layer at a time. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you're going to see shifts and then a layer is going to be cleared, but then we're going to see a new set of symptoms that mm-hmm. need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to work through that layer and see shifts and then we're at it, right? Yeah. And so I was talking to you, was it last night, I think, I've been talking for the last week about this trigger I had last week that caused me to have this low-key panic attack mm-hmm. and what that did to my amygdala and all the things and working through it. But then I said to you last night, I feel lighter and I can feel that it's not gone and I can feel that this is a significant layer we're working on, mm-hmm. this internal tension or perfectionism or tension, right? This difficulty relaxing, but I feel it shifting. I said to my husband last night, I like you better this week. And he kind of laughed. He's really good at taking my very blunt. And I was like, but the thing of that is, honey, is you didn't change. I changed. I like him better this week. And that's a layer I'm working on in homeopathy to just feel easier about things. Yeah. And so how do we not get so disappointed when we clear one layer and we're onto the next layer that we tap out? How do we not get so doubting ourselves when there's another layer? And is it just that our listeners need to hear this, that this is real? Mm-hmm. So when they're comparing themselves to people who are creating content on Instagram, like mm-hmm. just because those people are positive and they look happy and their lives are well, like do not believe that they're not struggling with things like insecurity, relationships, finances, parenting, like you name it, like they're still in it too. We're all still human and we all still have layers. And then the other thing that I've been thinking about is this conversation about trauma and how there are a lot of people out there, and I've heard a handful of people say, be wary of people who boil everything down to trauma. Mm. Be wary of them mm-hmm. because it's complex. And anytime someone is on like one protocol, that's mm-hmm. kind of culty. So I'm like, okay. And I love it when I hear people say things like that, because then it's like when I say, you're my accountability buddy, when I think a thought and I say, what would Joy say about that? Right, right. It makes me dig deeper and say like, mm-hmm. okay. You know, even when you and I were talking about preordination versus manifestation and mm-hmm. right, I have been chewing on that for weeks. Mm-hmm. Like really, it calls, when I hear people say things, it calls me to really think deeply on a thing mm-hmm. and intuit deeply on a thing, mm-hmm. both, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I hear somebody say, be wary of people who boil everything down to trauma, then it made me ask myself, okay, what is contributing? Do I believe that most people are traumatized at this mm-hmm. point? Whoa, my response to this feels like it's a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So I do think that we are more traumatized. Mm-hmm. We have more dysregulated nervous systems. Mm-hmm. I do think that we are sicker and more toxic. Mm-hmm. And I think that tools that used to be deeply effective for many people are no longer thoroughly effective because we are more complex, mm-hmm. right? As we evolve, as we continue to consume toxic content,
right.
as we continue to give up our personal divine power to institutions like the government and large companies, we lose touch with our ability to create, to sustain life, to mm-hmm. grow our own food, to make our own magic, to believe in ourselves, right? We give up. And so I think that the reason, there are many reasons we're more dysregulated and we're more toxic, but the reason I think trauma is happening more and is more complicated to treat is because we've lost touch of our divine power. Because when does trauma happen? Trauma happens when our nervous system, our mind, our emotional limbic system in the brain, so our top brain that is smart and our forward brain that is smart and it knows how to problem solve, and our lower brain, our brainstem, our survival mechanisms, our emotional systems, right? When the system gets so overloaded that the brain and the nervous system cannot process and experience safety in any kind of a timely manner, right? And it fight, flight, freeze, collapse happens from a nervous system standpoint. Way more helplessness than the system can handle in any one moment. And then the recovery period lacks whatever experiences are needed for the mind and the nervous system to realize that the threat is past and that we survived the threat and that healing is available, right? The recovery process from whatever traumatic event happened doesn't complete itself. Mm. It's an interrupted healing process. And so why does that happen so much these days, right? And I think a lot of it has to do with we have more literal environmental toxins interrupting our cellular ability to complete a traumatic healing process. And then I think we have mental emotional toxins more than ever that interrupt our mental emotional healing processes. And so what do I mean by that? I mean, we spend less time in nature, more time on screens. Mm-hmm. We spend less time in intimate community. Mm-hmm. And I mean that deeply because I think even in churches or other sacred spaces like that, so often we're so afraid of what people think that we're not bringing our full authentic selves to be loved well, mm-hmm. because we're afraid to be judged or damned. And so I do think our traumas are stacking up because we are not fully processing. I heard this story once. It's not a story. What is it? It's like anecdotal data, mm-hmm. that this happened with our military with the advent of these massive air carriers, because when our military used to go to war, it would take them weeks or months to return on boats, where they would be on boats kind of moving their bodies, working, mm-hmm. communing with their brothers, mm-hmm. and processing war. Mm-hmm. And now you can leave the battlefield one day where there's no longer a clear enemy. I think this is very similar in our current modern world, right? Yeah. and they can be back on their front porches in a matter of days without the time to, right? It's an interrupted recovery process.
Yeah.
We need time and space to recover. And yeah. in a modern world, we're not.
Yeah.
And therefore, we're more complicated. More and living. That's why therapy in its original form is no longer enough. That's yeah. why, right? And just this week I was talking with a colleague about TIR as a modality, which is traumatic incident recovery, traumatic incident. I'm not calling it right, but like it's like another modality that I want to learn because it can help unblock at a subconscious level, right? And so like, why does Dawn want to learn yet another modality, right? But it's because we are so complex and our cases are complex. And so it's real that we're more toxic, less in touch with our divine power, and more traumatized as a culture because so much of modern living. And modern living is cool and it's great because now we don't have to grow all of our own food. But how can we evolve in a way that keeps us in touch with our divinity and not so traumatized? And that is where the season that we're in. Also, I think there is another layer to all of this that needs to be fundamentally acknowledged, which is the changing face of women's lib, or like the shift of the patriarchy, right? Whatever it is that the Barbie movie is getting at, that is unfolding currently, right? Do women still have to wear makeup and dress a certain way to to make the same amount of money, or to take care of their families? And, you know, that's just a small piece of what I mean, but it's like, can women raise healthy children and also have careers? If so, how can they do that? I don't think they can do it in a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Right? And so we are, as a global community, like reinventing the wheel right now.
Yeah.
And COVID was like the domino that fell that like really kicked all that off, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Along with, and in astrology, they're talking about the age of Aquarius, that we are literally in a shifting astrological season from like one age to another age. And that is part of what is propelling this kind of shift and this conversation around patriarchy into women's lib and coming back into our bodies and coming back into awareness about what we actually need at a soul level, that that is happening astrologically.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I think just really struck me about the TV show I watched on Disney Plus last week. What are our listeners thinking right now if they're listening? It's called Brain Games. And I only watched the first half of the first episode. But the scientist was talking about perception and how so much of what anchors our perception is color and shadow and light. And it's not real. It's not real. But what is real is that our perception, our interaction with our perception has the ability to create matter that is real. So what do I mean by matter? I mean something that can be measured atomically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gave me the look like, no, they're not following you, Dawn. Nobody's following you. So like,
I mean, maybe smarter people than I am.
So I know. So like light is matter. It can be measured atomically, right? Like, okay, like this tree is matter. My body is matter, right? It has measurable, right? But perception does not have matter.
Mm-mm. It's not measurable.
It's measurable only in our perception, not on an like atomic level. But so, our perception causes us to take actions that does further matter. So for instance, I perceive I like an environment with plants. And so I have the capacity to grow and buy a plant and nurture it and put it in an environment that then changes how I perceive the environment. But in the meantime, I grew a plant that has matter, right? So my perception that the current culture as it exists could benefit from me living in my gift of creating content that helps people understand themselves and their perception better. And therefore, I create a podcast using my voice, which has matter, right? Resonance. It has, I'm creating content that has measurable matter. Okay, so the vibration is matter, but my perception of the vibration is perception, right? How do I pick up the sound through my perception? Aha. So the vibration is
measurable,
but it is only perceived by my ears.
So I might be off what I'm about ready to say, but perception is influenced by all of my experiences and or my hearing. What I'm measuring your voice to be is measured by my traumas, my experiences, what you are saying is registers to me how I hear it, not what you're saying.
Yes, that's a brilliant point. And also, what just clicked for me is it's about raising our vibration. Mm-hmm. So my perception that the world can benefit from me living in my gifts causes me to create content that resonates at a certain vibration. And then you as the listener, yes, you either receive this vibration and you tip up, or if you're not conscious of that process, you could receive this vibration and judge yourself against it and tip down.
Yeah.
And that's kind of fascinating. So when we watch true crime, even though it's probably lower vibrationally, does it sometimes help us tip up because we think, well, oh gosh, my dumpster fire is not as much of a dumpster fire as that dumpster fire. And so it helps us tip up, but maybe, right? That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So creation, as a result of perception, has the ability to perpetuate matter, but our perception is fully within our control.
100%. It boils down to me telling my children, like, assume good.
Assume good.
Assume good intent.
It's the freaking key to everything. Assume
that,
good.
That your sister didn't mean to break your toy.
Because of our perception of all the pain we've experienced in life. And that's real. And I have clients that struggle great mightily with this. And I did when I was getting divorced. I remember asking my Al-Anon sponsor, my therapist, and anybody who would listen, like, is true love possible? Yes. But when we have been immersed in lower half of the scale stuff and we perceive a lot of lower half of the scale and we've been hanging out in lower half of the scale places, then that's what we see. That's what we experience. That's what we perceive.
Yeah.
We got to put ourselves in different spaces, right?
Yeah.
To perceive differently, to believe that it exists.
Yeah. Surround yourself with people that assume good.
Yes.
Surround yourself with people who want good for you and pour into you in ways of tipping up.
Yes. So in this healing journey, recovering from divorce, recovering from a lot of false perception, quite frankly, right? Like, because what is divorce other than a boatload of grief and feeling disconnected from your divine power? You know, I think about in those early stages around having to balance, having to tackle all the things, right? Moving, court, finances, family, grief, work, like all the things, how that season is so challenging to tip up because it's so much at once. Mm-hmm. And the reality is you simply need to keep going. Mm-hmm. And I went to the eye doctor last week because my contact prescription was expired. And this was so exciting. You guys will relate to the story in many ways. She asked me what medication I was taking. Mm-hmm. And I said, none. And she said, none. The last time you were here, you had cluster headaches and you were on a number of medications. And I said, I know. It's so exciting. She's like, what did you do? And I told her the story of homeopathy.
Yeah.
And I told her the remedies I had taken. Mm-hmm. I was like, your brain is going to melt. Like, you're not going to be able to wrap your head around what I'm saying to you. But like, here I sit before you.
Yeah.
So then if you've ever had an eye exam, right, she pushes the thing up against my face and she's like, is that comfortable? And I was like, well, my eyelashes are feeling frustrated with the thing. But other than that, yes, it's fine. And she said, huh, I wish I had that problem. And I said, I know, me too. I've never had this problem before either. But again, homeopathy, when vital force is strengthened, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is strengthened. Mm-hmm. So now without, yes,
I
right?
have nails for
right,
the
right.
Ever.
Without expensive, painful eyelash serum, I used that expensive $80 a bottle, turned my eyes burning red eyelash serum.
Yeah.
That's not how it's meant to be. Yeah. So I now have these gorgeous eyelashes, but, and I don't want to take the eye doctor's inventory, bless her heart, but like, look how our knee-jerk thing is to say, poor me.
Mm-hmm. I wish I.
I wish I.
Yeah.
Well, she can have access to homeopathy just like I did, but then, and I don't know, like, because she said, well, surely the homeopath you hire doesn't live here where we live. And I said, surely not, but guess what? Now I know how to do it. So like, if you want to talk, like, let's talk, right? Mm-hmm. Or I can refer you to the person that I see. Mm-hmm. So what then would block her? I had this deep thought, right? From doing the thing. And is it because we've been sold so many solutions like painful eyelash serum that we no longer know how to discern what is true from what is not true?
Mm-hmm.
And it is so hard to trust and to know what is real and what is effective and what goes deep enough and what is snake oil. And my heart breaks for that process. And like, if I could call this podcast one thing, it would be like that, right? Like, come listen to discern snake oil from, right? But I think as humans, we learn by doing, and then we get frustrated, and then we quit or we stop because we feel so defeated. But I think what I have gotten good at these last couple of years, and not perfectly, because obviously I get a 1-star review on Google and I have a mini meltdown, right? But what I've gotten really good at these last couple of years is recognizing that when I feel desperate or defeated, it's not real. It's my perception. Mm-hmm. And right. So here's where the whole thing comes all together, tie it up in a little bow, right? And so then what happens with my perception, then my amygdala, right, like my lizard brain, that limbic system, emotional part of the brain, literally gets inflamed, swollen, right? And then it takes days for it to recover. And in all of that feeling state with an inflamed brain, I'm second guessing myself, but really it's my perception that causes my brain to inflame. That 1-star review did not actually cause my brain to inflame. My perception did.
The perception of, yeah.
And why was that such a powerful experience? Well, because I felt threatened in that moment, which tied back to other times in my very early childhood where I was genuinely helpless to the situation. And I have still not this, I have a best friend who gets very frustrated when I say these things, but have still not fully processed those moments, fully processed them, layers of them, right? But not fully, because, oh, look, it's still in there to get triggered, right? Where my perception, even when I was young, was that I was fully helpless. Was I fully helpless when I was young, or was that the perception? Interesting. Or did I just not recover from those moments, right? The healing process got interrupted. Yes, I think so, right? And what is homeopathy doing for me today? It is completing that healing process. And so is it real that we have piles and piles and piles of incomplete healing processes, and it's going to take longer than we want to for them to complete? Yes. But that doesn't mean life can't be magical in the meantime.
Right.
And I think that when it gets harder is when we judge ourselves and others for not completing their healing processes faster. And I wish that I could tell all the world what works and what doesn't work, what is real and what is false. But I think if I can tell one more person, that's what I can do. We're meant to live mostly on the upper half of the emotional scale. And we are so hard on ourselves. We are so in our egos. We're so in our egos. You know, I was reading some social media stuff lately about if you go to Europe, you're going to see way more wrinkles on women's faces.
Yeah. They don't do braces. They don't do Botox. They don't do...
It's just real.
Yeah.
They sit outside. They don't wear sunblock. Maybe they wear sunblock, but I think they wear less, right? They use more homeopathy. They, right? They work less. And so then, right, the crazy overwhelmed, I don't mean crazy, but like, I mean crazy overwhelmed, like mom who just got divorced is like, work less. How do you expect me to survive? Right? And it's like, well, that has to be the goal, right? No, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's incremental. This is everything that's been on my mind.
I think just perception. I feel like that's, people need to hear that. Like,
it's not a sexy topic.
It's not a sexy topic in terms of trendy. But it's sexy in, it resonates. Like, if, you know, you're not going to convince the woman who's an abusive, going through an abusive divorce with, was that financial, what was that term that you used the other day? Like
violence.
Financial violence. Like that her perception is off because her asshole of an ex is making it very, very real. Not her perception. How she handles it and having a goal of survival and having a goal of thriving, not just, you know, like you're not going to fix it this moment. But if you make micro decisions and micro steps towards your future self, that is what will help you climb this scale.
And I think that what you just said, and it's your role in my life, right? Because I wake up thinking about matter and the expansion of matter and and then you say micro steps, Dawn, right? Yeah, like break that down for me. Yeah, I think that because sometimes these big concepts, they feel mm-hmm. overwhelming in and of themselves, and we mm-hmm. just have to keep taking micro steps.
My husband used to say something. He was just like 30 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. The whole day mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I am taking it 30 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. I am surviving 30 mm-hmm. minutes.
And making the most out of it.
Making
the most out of this 30 minutes.
I'm choosing to read this chapter. I'm choosing to work on this issue. I'm choosing to, take this step because my future self, I am determined to be this person.
Yeah.
And so like,
yeah.
It's hard to see it when you're in it, but if you take 30 minutes and you don't have to be that perfect 30 minutes, but like take a micro step in that 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Who you want to be.
Because that's, in the growth spurt chart, right? That's part of consolidating energies to then spurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, law of attraction states the same thing. She, when I listen to Esther Hicks speak and channel, mm-hmm. she says, And I think you would find this in scripture also, right? But she says, you don't have to meditate all day long. Well, the Bible does say pray without ceasing. But she says you don't have to do it all day long, right? She says you just got to get a snippet of it here and a snippet of it there. And when you get it and you notice it, like milk it for as long as you can, right? Like when you catch a high-flying disc moment, when you're feeling really, really good, like milk it as long as you can. Mm-hmm. And eventually all those moments of joy add up. But too often we don't take command over making the most of 30-minute segments. And then we get carried away, right? Like the mood, the things external to us, they carry us away. We let our perception get bogged down with all of that rather than saying, no, I am in command of my perception.
Yeah.
That's the, right? It's it's why this perception thing is sucking my craw, right? Because it's so fundamental to how we can make those micro decisions. Yeah. All throughout the day,
right?
That then add up to create a magical life.
Yeah, there's so many cultural examples. Like, have you seen a picture of Prince William flipping the bird to somebody?
Not lately.
And
oh yes. So, like, but really,
right, so the side of the camera looks like he's flipping you off, but the front of the camera, he's holding up three fingers. You just don't see it.
Wow.
So it's all about
Your view on. And that's what they showed us on that show, Brain Games. They showed us that without adding a shadow under a basketball, you can't tell whether the basketball is rolling across a flat floor or bouncing up and over.
Yeah.
When they added the shadow is what made you perceive that it was bouncing up and over, right? Yeah. And so, yes, that suddenly all... And then hearing that perception is not measurable matter, that, right? It's manipulatable.
Yes.
And so
that's good. Perception is manipulatable.
It's manipulatable, which is why we use $80 painful lash serum because perception is manipulatable and so wouldn't I rather manipulate my own perception? I don't mean gaslight myself, right? But manipulate my own perception for my divine powerful purpose. And then opens the loop about, well, how do I know if I'm manipulated or not, right? Like, how do I know if I'm manipulating my perception for good or for evil, or if my perception is being how do I know what to trust? And I think you know it because how it resonates.
Yeah.
Right? If something unlocks a little feeling of freedom inside of you, a little feeling of divine power inside of you, if it feels so, like, for instance, the $80 lash serum, right? It unlocks longer lashes, but it causes pain in a way that's like doesn't feel sustainable to me. Okay, what is the difference between that and
go ahead. And i.e., what toxins are you putting in your body?
What toxins am I putting in my body?
More issues down the road.
Right. So, but then what is the difference between that, Dawn, and EMDR therapy, where you come to session and you feel like shit for an hour, right? But yeah, we're not adding toxins.
Yeah.
And it's sustainable in that, unlike the lash serum where you have to use it till the end of time, creating that burning, with therapy, the proper therapies, it's not forever. It's right. You're not, you don't have to feel like shit forever in order to tap into your personal yeah. divine power.
Yeah.
It's temporary.
It's the worst before the better.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the brush fire that helps mm-hmm. the forest come back mm-hmm. clearer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right. Because sometimes I think we need concrete tools. We need tools to be able yeah. to say, like, okay, how can I evaluate? How can I measure what I am doing currently in my day-to-day life? What can I sift and sort through that I need to keep doing? Mm-hmm. And what do I need to let go of that's blocking?
Yeah.
Or sabotage, like, forget about just blocking, right? Like,
sabotaging is
like adding more
yeah.
problems.
What are some other examples of perception that could be?
The one that keeps bubbling up for me is about co-parenting.
Okay.
Well, and we don't talk a lot about co-parenting yeah. here, because I don't know, because I think it's in the trenches, but I think that when you are dealing with high conflict scenarios, that's what I mean when I say co-parenting, right? I really mean high conflict.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's the conflict that's the problem. Yeah. The co-parenting isn't the yeah. problem, right? So what do I really mean? Okay. High conflict.
Yeah.
Divorce.
Yeah.
I think the perception there is that one person's well-being is dependent on the other person not doing conflict. Right? Like my outcome mm-hmm. is dependent on your actions.
Okay. But for the mom, yes, I understand what you're saying. But for the mom who is trying her best, because it is the best, it's the best interest of the children that we have a healthy co-parenting relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But the dad who, mm-hmm. or the partner or mm-hmm. whoever mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. doing everything because he wants to cause hurt because mm-hmm. he is
because
hurt.
Because he feeds on power.
Right.
And mm-hmm. control.
So like, what mm-hmm. do you say to her that who's truly trying her best, but the safety of her children or the, you know, like he's crossing boundaries that she's setting. Well, it's not like she can say, you know what I mean? Like address her.
Yes. Yes. So her outcome and her children's outcome are not dependent on him being a good person. They're just not. They are dependent on each of their ability to recover mm-hmm. from the painful experience. And it is very, very, very difficult to watch your children suffer. Mm. Like, there's not enough words. There are not enough.
There's nothing comparable.
Nothing. Yeah. Right? But also, we have to honor and acknowledge that each of us has our own hero's journey mm-hmm. in life. And that includes our children. Since homeopathy, right? I have felt so much better about this particular topic because there are children of divorce on my current caseload, mm-hmm. or at least their family members on my caseload, right? Who we work a lot on supporting those kids to be less traumatized, right? But with the advent of homeopathy, I have seen even those children shift mm-hmm. and for it to be available to them to recover. Now, are they going to fully recover while they still have to live with an abusive parent? No. That's the reality.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
But recovery is available.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that has to be the soothing thought, is we have to acknowledge that I can't get miserable enough to help my miserable child get well.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot get unhappy enough to help my unhappy child get happy.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot get controlling enough to help my controlling ex be less controlling. Right? The answer is always going to be embody healing, demonstrate its possibility, become a safe, well-regulated emotional space.
Yeah.
Because the more you engage mm-hmm. in that high conflict space, you're not able to regulate your nervous system, right? The amygdala remains inflamed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids have no peaceful, regulated spaces to mm-hmm. function in. And so the answer is, and I think that as moms, and I don't want to just say moms because there are a lot of amazing dads out there. And P.S., there are a lot of abusive women out there too.
Yes, fact.
Like
fact. Yes.
I would just like to tell you that there are a lot of abusive women out there, yeah, and dads who have lost rights to their children because... So this is not unique to one gender, yeah, okay? But I think as a parent, let's say, let's just strip the gender out of it, yeah, because there are no victims here. There are only participants. It's very hard to heal and move on, mm-hmm, like when your child is still in a suffering space. I think healing feels like a form of abandoning, right? Like if I heal, if I feel good, if I feel happy, my child might feel abandoned by me. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a tempting thought that you can invest your perception in, or you can look at the science of it, which is a person vibrating at a higher vibrational frequency that is well regulated, that a child can then come, and by child I also mean adult child, right, can come co-regulate with and feel good with and feel safe with, mm-hmm, might that child feel envy or jealousy? Mm-hmm. Yes, but they can also have a sense of safety, and then you can over time assist and facilitate that child in tipping up and healing and recovering from their path also. There is not a human being on this planet who's going to make it out without having their own healing journey.
Yeah.
And I cannot say enough for constitutional homeopathy as a means to complete a healing process in a way faster, less expensive, less dependent on tricks and gimmicks and tools kind of way for especially children of high conflict divorce. And the reality is our kiddos who struggle the most from high conflict divorce, the ones who are the most effective, that have the, you know, a lot of those kiddos were also probably, much like me, born predisposed, right? Born with certain predispositions around mental, emotional, and physical well-being. And those kiddos are going to need extra support anyways, right? Like, I've always just kind of needed more tools. Yeah. And so for those kiddos who are special needs, constitutional homeopathy is even better. And healing is possible. I think at the end of the day, right, it's like healing is possible. Redemption is possible, right? All right, you and I had that, yeah, convo about what is the thesis of the Bible. And I said, yeah, love, and you said redemption, right? Redemption, mm-hmm, is possible. Yeah. But we doubt whether or not it exists. And then we settle for lash serum. We say, well,
because our perception. That's what we're told, yeah, is the only thing that works.
Yeah.
That's what the magazines and you're standing in line and the radios and the all of the influences point, yes, to this is how you'll get healthy. This is how you get happy. This is how you get beautiful. This is how you get
security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you'll be accepted if you have long eyelashes.
Yeah.
You'll be loved more.
Yeah.
You'll be more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that, like, okay, in Europe or in indigenous tribes, right? Mm-hmm. I always think back to, like, okay, because do I feel prettier in makeup? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do I feel more comfortable in makeup? Mm-hmm. No. Because mm-hmm. It smells funny and it feels funny. It gets under my mm-hmm. fingernails. And when I go to the chiropractor, I leave it in the paper and the thing and the, you mm-hmm. know, like, mm-hmm. it, you know, it's in the dressing room. It gets on the, like,
yeah.
No, if anything, I have a certain level of extra self-consciousness in makeup. When you think about some of the communities around the globe that have had effective family units,
yeah,
have had longevity, right? Like abundant health. I think it's because they learn to coexist in spiritual ways, like with the land, with each other, mm-hmm. with their neighbors. Okay.
All right.
There you have it, friends.
Noodle session.
Dear Divorce Diary is a podcast by My Coach Dawn. You can find more at mycoachdawn.com.